Montreal.
You're not the Batman.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Blue your boots.
Just missed.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
I don't even know what that word means.
You
gotta be kidding me.
It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh, my.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
Baloney, fudge, and mustard! My life is being ruined by the internet! I haven't flipped out this bad since my mom canceled my subscription to Warcraft. Michael Cole, you listen up and you listen good. You have this anonymous general manager. Email me personally. My address is...
My address is... CandyPants564@gmail.org.
It's a non-profit thing I got going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not address your internets or iPods or anything like that. This is the North American Wrestling Connection for August the 20th of 2010. I am your humble host, Robert Q. Seidelman. Thank you. So now, without any further ado, we have a lot to talk about, so let's introduce our panel.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you doing on my radio show?
I thought this was my radio show.
It was your radio show a few months ago. I took care of that.
I figured I would come back here because by popular demand.
And whose popular demand was that?
Somebody who's paying me $500 to do this.
Liar.
Really?
Sure.
I can show you the check.
Then I already know who it's from. Rip it up now.
Vince Russo! Ah!
Now for your consolation prize.
What is it?
Upstairs, up on the video system. Is Mega Man 2.
I love Mega Man 2! Bye! Eat it, Wily!
My apologies for that, ladies and gentlemen. I hate it when my show gets hostile taken over. Now, where were we? Yes, the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and Robert Q. Seidelman is now left the building. So we've got quite a bit to talk about, so let me get to the panel immediately. Let me start in the shining lights of New York City and Mr. Jason Block.
No smart-ass comments to start this week. Got to wish a happy birthday to the sound man, the guy who does all our introductions, Mr. Jim Williams. Happy, happy birthday, sir.
Indeed. And... for someone who has not been with us for a very, very long time, and welcome, welcome, welcome back from our neighbors up north, Miss Trista Timpson.
Hello.
Yay, Trista.
Yay, me. Girl power. Woo.
And finally, there is balance on this show. And from deep in the heart of Texas, I seem to have a typo.
That's right. Nothing sarcastic for me this week. I just want to start off by saying rest in peace to one of my childhood favorites, General Skandar Akbar, passed away yesterday.
And the news hit me, reached me via Stone Cold Steve Austin's Twitter. Apparently, he got to work with Skandar early in his career.
That typo, since you said that he was a childhood favorite, for those who don't know about him, why was he so good at what he did?
He was just one of those guys that you watched either in the arena or on TV that he just sucked you in and made you hate him. Even if you wanted to like him, he made you hate him. And that's why it was so hard for me as a kid going to shows at the Sportatorium, going out back afterwards and meeting him and him being the nicest guy out of all of them. It was just confusing for a little kid.
Now, was he more of a manager or of a wrestler, or both?
From my era and his most noted era, he was a manager, but he was a wrestler as well back in his day. I believe he retired in the 70s from the ring and became strictly a manager. He managed the Devastation Incorporated stable. It was famous for going after the Von Erichs in World Class. He was big in the UWF and Global. He was a big guy on Bill Watts' promotion. Never made it to the, quote, big time, but still, in my opinion, one of the best managers ever.
Good stuff.
Yeah, he will be missed. Although, though he may not have made it to the big time, we have word that somebody has made it to the big time. And for this, we're going to go to our special correspondent, exclusive to the North American Wrestling Connection. Trista Timpson, what do you have for me, dear?
I have one of my favorite wrestlers that goes by the name of Tyler Black has been reporting down to FCW, the WWE training facility, farm, place, that area, which is exciting because rumor has it that he has signed a developmental deal, which is even more exciting. Yay!
Now, Trista, if they do come up that way, you realize you will not be allowed to jump the guardrail during NXT.
I do realize that, but which made me sadder is that I have tickets for November, and apparently Tyler will be reporting in September, so he won't be at. Yeah. That's exactly what I did after I cried, after I realized that, because I don't want to see Roderick Strong as champion. But whatever, right?
By November, he'll be Rufus Watkins on NXT.
Don't say that.
Oh, God, the random name generator rides again. Oh, that's awesome. Oh,
good Lord, I hate that thing. I hate that thing. And just for you, Trista, I'm going to slam it back in the room just for you one more time.
Please.
Oh, dear me.
Since Consequences Creed has already been a victim of it, Mr. Xavier Wood, and I can't wait to see what if they're just going to let, speaking of signees, Jay Bradley, somebody I knew from Ohio Valley who came up briefly in ECW as Ryan Braddock, has been re-signed. So looks like he's going to be thrown into the mix. I think they're looking for a couple more experienced guys because they do want to squeeze in one more season of NXT before that whole hour block disappears and SmackDown gets to take over on Sci-Fi. Trista, since you are his personal stalker, I have to ask if once Tyler Black is called up, if he doesn't go through NXT and they decide to bring him to one of the main shows, where do you want him? And where would you like him to start?
You know, that's funny because I've been having this ongoing debate with my brother, and I know what I don't want him to have is one of those, like, vignettes that they've been doing with Alberto Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
Because the debate is, I'm going on the side that a vignette will not help your career, and my brother is choosing the side that the vignette will help your career. So we'll have, like, these random conversations, and then he'll be like, Edge, and I'll be like, Kazarni, and then, like, we'll go on with whatever we were talking about before. So I know that's how I don't want to see him, but I'd prefer him on Raw, I guess, because they've been doing okay with kind of pushing the smaller guys, but I think for a newcomer, SmackDown's always the better fit.
Okay. Tyson, I'll throw the same question at you.
If he's not going through NXT, where do I want to see him?
Yeah.
I think he'd be better off on SmackDown. But if they did put him on Raw, I think he'd be okay because they've kind of dug out a little mid-card niche of 5 to 6 people that they seem somewhat semi-consistently to be behind. So if he could get to Raw and get into that little group, he'd be okay. But if he drops down to Yoshitatsu Primo levels, then it's superstars for life for him.
Hmm.
But I'd rather he go to SmackDown because I think he has a better chance there.
Jason, for the sweep?
It's very interesting because I think he can do well in both places. I mean, if you put Tyler Black with people like, say, Evan Bourne, Ted DiBiase, and the mid-card guys, which Typo absolutely correctly got. And then maybe push him a little bit to people like The Miz, Chris Jericho. See what he can do on SmackDown. You know, put him against people like maybe Jack Swagger, MVP, Christian, Drew McIntyre, those guys. And then, you know, see where what he can do. You know, that sort of stuff. But it's going to be very interesting to see how they play it. That's all. I mean, Trista, you're more familiar about him than I am. Was he more of a heel guy or was he more of a face guy? Or was he both?
Well, that's the problem right now, is that now he's supposed to be a face, but no one liked his title reign that is continually going on. And so they're booing him, but he's a face. But then when he came into Ring of Honor, he was a heel because he was with Age of the Fall. And then he left Age of the Fall, so then he was a face. So he's kind of been like heel face, forced face, kind of. I think his best work is a heel. Like, he's a... I think he was great in that. And then he was, like, heelish, I guess, in WSX. So, that's what they should do. They should sign Jimmy Jacobs and do it for her back together and bring back the tag team division and the fangirls. They can be, like, the new Hardy Boys. But
anything to see Jimmy Jacobs stop and pose for camera phones in the front row again.
Oh, memories.
So we've got everybody's got their fingers crossed on this one. I really want to see him succeed. I'm hoping that Braddock gets a better shot than what he got in ECW. He was a really good heel in OVW. I had seen him bouncing around dark matches about a year or two before that. So. You know,
maybe they'll explain what happened to him after Jesse and Festus hogtied him and put him in the moving van.
I keep thinking I might have been at that show.
I think that's the last time we saw.
I think so, too. And I'd like to
think after that he got shipped to dark matches and back to developmental and cut his hair, and then they fired him.
So I would love to see him come staggering out and wearing what he was wearing that night with bubble wrap still wrapped around him.
That was
fun. Have him stagger out in that and just say Kenny didn't survive, but he made it out.
I don't know what, I have no idea what happened to Dykstra.
He made it out of that OVW crate back in the day, but he didn't make it out of the moving van.
Let's see. We need to take a look at SummerSlam. Now, I actually thought it was a good show. I just had a small problem with the pacing. The Intercontinental title match, the Divas title match, and the 3-on-1 handicap match were done by 9 o'clock. And
I'm back. I just had to, sorry about that.
I just, you know, I felt like they were being rushed, but I guess I can't complain too loud because that meant that the two title matches were given 20 to 25 minutes and that the 7-on-7 had lots of room to play, lots of room to breathe and tell a story.
For the first time in forever, they almost used all 3 hours.
Yes, the show ended at 10:57.
It didn't end like 20 minutes early like usual.
Yeah, and I'm kicking myself because my tape didn't take. But scores are very intriguing. What we thought was a lock on Ziggler Kingston turned out is going to be essentially completely thrown out, no thanks to the Nexus.
The Nexus.
Yay, Wade Barrett. Anyway, and yay, Justin Gabriel.
Ooh, I agree. Did you hear who he's dating?
Who?
Kelly Kelly.
Now that's
I thought he had an alternative way of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fake and they're fantastic.
His alternate way way of thinking is that he likes her for her mind. Ah, there we go.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You pee in sinks together.
We better move on before this gets any worse. Let's see, but, yeah, it was a no contest, so nobody gets points. Alicia Fox, Melina, welcome back, Melina, of course, and getting her title back that she never really lost. And I think, yeah, everybody got that right. Let's see, Big Show, the three-on-one handicap match, Big Show versus Straight Edge Society, Big Show pulling out a win, giving points to Typho and Typho and Jim. So, happy birthday, Jim. Kane versus Mysterio. I probably should have tried to split some points on this just for the end of the segment, because I think we were all of the mindset that Undertaker was going to show up at the pay-per-view, and we were pretty much right. Kane retained, which put points to Josh, Forth, Carl, and Typho. But not only did Kane win the match, he won the segment. Now, I'm going to step out on this for just a second. Trista, I'm just going to, I don't know if you're a real big Kane or Undertaker fan. Looks like we're going to be going into round three of this, but they're making sure that we realize that Taker is still in a weakened state because he's only just awakened. You think Kane might actually have a shot this time?
No. Probably not. That's what they want you to think. They'll build it up like he's Rey Mysterio or something. They're like, oh my god, the odds are against him, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, the odds are against him, and he won't win. No. Probably not.
Typho?
Well, let's see. Kane locked him in a casket and burned him alive, Undertaker won. He buried him alive, Undertaker won. Vegetative state? And what's another one? Undertaker wins.
Jason for the sweep?
Yeah, I mean, look, Undertaker is on his last legs. I know we've said this for a while, but he really, I think, is on his last legs here. 1 to 2 years tops, maybe, I'm thinking.
If that Survivor Series this year would mark the 20th year of The Undertaker's storied existence.
In the WWE, plus he's been, he was a pro for, 10 more? Five more?
I don't know. I have no idea how long he was wrestling before he came up.
4 to 5 years.
4 to 5 years?
I'd say 86 was when he started.
Okay, so he started
off
about
the top
same
of
time.
My head.
Yeah, started about the same time as Shawn Michaels. Because I know he came up in 90, and while his character was being built, when Kane was introduced in the same league, he ended up under Dutch. And Dutch Mantel, you know, pretty much built him up as a monster so that when he got called up, that these two would end up colliding in what has turned into a long and storied and merry misadventure. Let's see, yeah, Josh, Forrest, Carl, Typho all get a point for that. Seamus Orton wasn't as slow in plotting as I expect. They actually, you know, that was about as good a match as we were going to get out of them. Orton won by DQ. Sheamus retains, of course, which only gets a point to Forth and Carl. The main event, Team WWE versus the Nexus, in a moment of sheer, unadulterated brilliance. And you gotta give WWE a little bit of some credit here for tying all this back together and getting Daniel Bryan back.
Yeah, but of course, we knew about this already.
Yes, oops. Yes, yes, you're right. You're right. Where's the button? Where's the button? Where's the button? Where's the button? Where is the button? I have a button for that. I do have a button for that. There it is.
Whoa!
Yeah. WWE.com accidentally posted this minutes before the match began.
It wasn't minutes. It was literally a half hour before.
Yeah,
no,
it was a handful of minutes.
I'm glad I wasn't online during the show.
I'm glad I wasn't either, but Jason called me.
Well, no, I called because it's part of, you know, it's part of my job to point out Epic Fail and to point out the irony in this, okay? Here's a little internet irony. WWE cannot stand the sheets for breaking news, right?
Yeah.
And they don't like to spoil surprises. And then one of the biggest surprises of the year, they blow themselves. Ironic, you make the call.
Oh, no, this is right up there with the Chris Jericho cover of WWE Magazine from 07.
Maybe they were expecting the dirt sheets to pick it up and they wanted to scoop them.
I don't know.
But yeah, we outsmarted you guys.
That hurts my brain.
We ruined our own show.
That hurts my... Ouch.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was
fun.
They
like that, Meltzer?
Well, if Raja picked it up first, then nobody would have believed it. The surprise still would have worked.
yes.
After they messed up, Joey Styles should have just forwarded it to Raja.com.
There you go. Oh, so Miz is throwing an unholy fit on the stage. Cole's pitching an unholy fit at the announce table. Nexus is pitching an unholy fit in the ring. And all of this wonderful stuff is brilliantly captured at kappaema.deviantart.com. Go see his new SummerSlam animation. It's hysterical. He digs on Team Cena. He digs on Nexus. He digs on Cena's gear. He even gets one last quick dig on Daniel Bryan. I do recommend it. I love his stuff. But getting back to the pick-ems, let's see. Team WWE wins, and Darren Young pinned first. I got a point because Darren Young got pinned. Horst got a point because Team WWE wins. Carl got a point for Darren Young being pinned. Typho, you got a point for... No, you couldn't have got a point. Typho, you don't get a point.
I picked Team WWE.
Oh, all right. You get a point. So
I think I said R-Truth would get pinned first, so I don't get anything there.
Oh, you were close. I think he got pinned second or third. Because I think him and Morrison got pinned pretty close together. So here it is. We are at a huge split. And I'm surprised Josh isn't cracking up in the chat room about this. Me and Josh and Jim are all tied for last place with 2 points. However, the other three participants are now all tied at the top with 4 points. So now we got three people vying over the Fizzleweight Championship. I'm confused. What am I supposed to do with that?
Make them fight to the death.
Well, were any of them co-champions beforehand?
Let's see. Carl, Typho, and Forth are our winners. Let me consult the chat room. Josh, who was Fizzleweight champ before SummerSlam? Give me a second and we'll find out. Ah! Oh! Josh was, which he loses the title because he was being down here with me and Jim.
And so then you have 3-way co-champions.
So So I guess, you know, Typho, you're going to have to share your belt. You are going to
have to share that. Let's lay cool it. I'll start breaking pieces off.
Well, don't break it too badly. We are going to need that for the next pay-per-view.
Which I believe comes September 4th?
5th.
5th? That's, fourth, not, that's fifth, no surrender, okay, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, let me go through my list real quick. Okay. So Monday rolls around and the Nexus isn't happy. They're pouting because they lost. And they, you know, they want to continue to claim that they're, you know, there's nothing wrong, you know, there's nothing wrong. They're still a strong team.
Oh, no.
I don't even have to read that email. I was simply forwarded what was sent to me. What was sent to Michael Cole was that each of the members of the Nexus were going to face a member of Team WWE. Barrett sweetens the pot, as it were, by letting his teammates know that if any of them lose their matches, they're out. Now, if you need a recap, there's 100 different sites that do this. Darren Young was the only person who failed his challenge, although I give the bookers huge props for forwarding storylines and giving us some really sweet endings. So, Trista, I know you're still over. I know you're out there somewhere. What was your favorite ending out of these six matches?
I thought the Darren Young beatdown was awesome. I know it wasn't, like, the end of a match, but, like, as much as it was, like, the end of a show. But I thought it was great. Poor Skip Sheffield broke his ankle, though. So keep him in your prayers.
I will, because I liked Silverback all the way back in, at, you know, on SmackDown Tough Enough.
Yeah, I thought he was great.
I loved him back then. I still like him now, and that just sucks. And I hope they actually play that into a storyline. Typho, what was your favorite?
Cursed.
Huh?
Nexus is cursed.
Shh, not so loud. I don't want to have to see Gabriel. Typho, what was your favorite finish?
I guess my favorite of the bunch had to have been the tag match with Skip Sheffield actually winning clean. I mean, one or two little screwy kind of finishes for wins is fine, but when every freaking match is won, it's overkill. I mean, Barrett won clean, Sheffield won clean, all the rest of them, countouts, disqualifications, outside interference. It made them look more lucky than actually stronger, as they claimed they were. Maybe Lucky Cannon should join, and so they can all wear that "I Got Lucky" shirt, because that's what they were on Raw.
I love Lucky Cannon.
Lucky Cannon should just return to his calling and go find the rest of the Dude Busters.
Maybe you should go find that Johnny Prime guy. He had a personality. Kind of. Unlike Lucky Cannon.
Ouch. Oh, Jason, did you have a favorite?
Actually, I did, and it had nothing to do with Orton going, you know, apeshit over, you know, Sheamus, which we knew was coming. Where my favorite ending had to have been when The Miz did the skull crushing finale right on the briefcase, and there was no hand, his head. Daniel Bryan just took a nice headshot. I mean, it was a chin shot, you know, on the thermos lunchbox, a.k.a. the briefcase. Okay.
It was a little violent for me. I hope Mattel doesn't have to give him a call.
No, ha ha. But you want to, because it's set,
fire the Miz.
Because it's setting up a Miz Bryan feud for the U.S. title, and I will. You know, and I'm, you know,
Well, Night of Champions
like
isn't
a Mad
that
Lib.
Far away. You know, and I'm just telling you, and I'm telling you, Miz is doing some amazing mic work now, and I'm loving what he's doing. Good, some good stuff out there. And,
yeah.
And although I thought also my favorite part of the night, though, was, you know, and all the internet critics can go kiss my ass because the show was fun. And all the internet critics who are saying the Nexus feud is dead can all kiss my ass. I just hate the IWC, and I hate all these internet places, and I'm going to name them like PW Insider, who are basically saying that this feud is over and the show sucked on Raw. It didn't. It entertained me. And the fact that John
Cena... Jason.
What?
Down, Jason, down.
Okay. The fact is that when you have a guy like John Cena getting a crowd to chant, Wendy sucks, in the span of 15 minutes to
Slater.
Heath Slater. You're done. That's awesome. Good stuff. It was great. Cheap, but it was fun.
So, just for the record, I thought, even though I'm a big fan of Edge's, I liked the end of the Slater-Edge match because it was a twist on the count-out finish. But that's just me. So we have six left for the Nexus, and the Nexus could actually go recruit on NXT since Percy Watson and Husky Harris have been eliminated. Now this has been huge speculation that if Nexus were to recruit, Husky's of about the right mentality, and he kind of dropped a hint on Twitter a couple of weeks ago about it when he was. Complaining about the challenges. He says, now I see where the Nexus was coming from. But I guess the question I should be asking, Trista, does Nexus really need any more people?
Well, I think they should at least bring a muscle guy in just to replace, well, not replace, but for the time being, for Skip Sheffield, because he was like their big hoss guy. And they have Wade Barrett, but Wade Barrett's more of the mouthpiece of the group, so they should at least bring in someone that can, like, just get in the ring and dominate with power. So if they want to bring in, like, Husky Harris or Eli Cottonwood or someone equally as awesome, then, yeah, they should bring in someone else from NXT.
I'd take that type of... Yeah, well, they need muscle, not looks. Typho, what do you think? Eli, Husky, G Real is gone, so you can't use him.
How about Titus O'Neil? Make it a win. No, I'd seriously, that would probably be the worst scenario I could do. With the Nexus, and they dropped Darren Young, they're down to six. Skip Sheffield snaps his leg. That's five. They need more because they work better as seeing them like as a big army, a big force. You keep taking guys down, they're going to look weaker and weaker and weaker. But my thing is, since the Nexus started and we've had all the rumors about maybe somebody's leading them and they'll put this guy in or that guy in, I think, honestly, they should just stay as in between the eight guys that were on the first season of NXT. Because that's how they bonded, that's how they were formed. Whatever their purpose they're talking about is, it's their purpose. So if they're going to put somebody in, either put Darren Young back in or put Daniel Bryan back in. They don't need any outsiders. But if they were to put somebody in, the only guy I could personally accept would be Husky Harris. Because he seems like he would fit. Otherwise, Darren Young or Daniel Bryan or nobody.
Gotcha. Jason?
I'm going to say no. And I'll tell you why. Because if you recruit the losers from NXT, okay, you're going to get a reputation of getting the cast-offs and weakening an already weak Nexus. I say stay with the group you have and build the guys up. It's an image thing, not a muscle thing.
I'm kind of on the fence because
right now the remaining Nexus members are all broad-shouldered, in-shape guys, and Husky Harris, while of the right mentality, would stick out a bit. And I don't mean just the front.
Yes, although when you have Cody Rhodes go absolutely nuts, which was great, by the way, he's now one of my new favorites because I'm loving his new gimmick right now. Great stuff.
So let's see. Now I do need to touch on something. I do need to touch on something that did happen at that show. Just the fact that when we had an open mic night, and Cabal decided to pick up the microphone.
Oh yes.
And Jim, I wish your computer had been working because that would have opened the show. Cabal's rap was absolutely spectacular and was probably one of the rare times that someone somewhere in WWE decided to take a dig at that other show down south.
I actually have it on YouTube right here.
But yeah, the fact that he wraps it with total nonstop action, I fell out of my chair. I cannot believe he said that, and I hope he cleared that with somebody. Now, given that WWE as a rule isn't supposed to acknowledge any sort of formal competition like this, Typo, do you think Cabal would have gotten in trouble for that?
I think if he didn't clear it, maybe, but I also think the way he said it, he wasn't directly making reference to TNA. I mean, if he would have said something about something like that and tie it in with something like Impact or Finchy, then maybe, but the way he said it, if you don't know what TNA is, then it could mean anything to you. And if you didn't know that was a wrestling organization that he was a part of, then you'd just be like, oh, okay, I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Okay.
It was for the fans who get it. The fans who don't just won't, and it won't matter to them anyway.
True.
They've already forgotten it.
Can I get a second opinion?
Yeah, I agree with Ty. So I think it's one of those things where, like, if you got it, you got it. And if you kind of understood it, then you got it. But then if you don't know what TNA is, which I bet a lot of the WWE audience doesn't, then
Universe.
I think, my bad. Thank you. But yeah, like, I'm pretty sure 75%, I'll say, that the WWE Universe doesn't know what TNA is. So I don't think it's something he would have to clear with the agents or anything like that. And if it was meant to be a job, then it was a good one. And if it wasn't, well, it was still a good one. So
I'm betting half the workers backstage popped when they heard it.
All the guys that probably worked for TNA before probably high-fived each other.
So
R-Truth, like, starts breakdancing backstage.
If Christian had been at the show, I think he would have facepalmed.
It's like, hey, I remember them. I was a world champion. Remember that?
Remember what? Oh, wait.
The only reason why I think he did it was because it was live. Okay? If you remember, it was a West Coast thing, and it was a live elimination. If it was taped beforehand, it might have been edited out. Possibly.
Maybe.
You know, but good up to Cabal, man. Awesome. I love it. Great. We need more little digs and stuff.
I'm sure he's probably also aware Vince McMahon probably still isn't really sure what NXT is, so he probably wasn't listening.
I've got my fingers crossed because I really want to see Cabal pull through with NXT. I don't know if he's going to win, mainly because I'm I am so digging Alex Riley. They just need to take
There's also in the Caval's rap where he referenced Mr. McGillicuddy as Joe.
Yes, I did remember that. And, I mean, he had my attention. I was like, oh my word, this was great. And then the TNA digs went in, and I was done. But I'm going to be flipping a coin between Caval and Riley to win NXT.
So you're now, saying you don't think Henning has a shot?
Henning is very good in the ring. Don't get me wrong. But he's a Charlie Haas.
Well, I mean, from a wrestling perspective, that's a very good thing.
No, it's a great thing. That means, that means he's a very solid technical wrestler. He's very good at what he does. If you didn't tell me who he was, I'd look at him and say, is he here for the dark?
Wow. Okay. I'm with you. I can't say no,
That's all I'm saying. Joe is great in the ring, but we need to do something with him. He's missing something. The man needs a charisma implant, quick. Because Alex, heck, they should have just named him Alex Mizan and say that he was Miz's older brother who decided he wanted to get into the business. And Caval is Caval, and Caval just kicks ass. We know this.
In more ways than one, yes.
I miss Husky Harris.
Yeah, I miss him already.
He was good.
The big galoot will be back.
I miss Titus O'Neil just because of how horrible he is. It was actually fun watching him go out there because I knew he was horrible. I knew he was going to be horrible. He got in the ring and he was horrible. He got on the mic and he was horrible, and it was fantastic. And I want to make it a win shirt.
Actually, I want a Husky shirt. I do want a Husky shirt.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I hope Titus O'Neil gets released because he's god awful. But I want to make it a win shirt.
Well, his heart's in the right place. His ability lies elsewhere.
I mean, him and Percy Watson started at the same time, and you could see how far ahead Percy Watson was from where Titus O'Neil was.
Now that I think about it, Darren Young gets kicked out of Nexus, Percy Watson eliminated from NXT. I guess the South Beach boys are going to be having some fun in Tampa.
Have you ever seen their entrance in FCW?
No, somebody YouTube me that.
Things sparkle and shine, and it's fabulous.
Fabulous? Damn it! Why isn't Candy Charles listening to my show? I'm gonna have to call him and yell at him now. But we are drifting off the subject. It's now time for our obligatory. Let's see. I could run a commercial or I could talk TNA. Typo, Trista, you haven't heard this, and Trista, you'll like this.
Okay.
And by the way, blame American Dragon.
Are you lonely at night? Wanting that special someone to have in your life? Well, look no further when you can date Ring of Honor senior official Todd Sinclair. If you're interested in going out on a date with Todd Sinclair, send your information, pictures, and an explanation of why you should be the one to go out with ROH senior official Todd Sinclair to win a date with Todd Sinclair at gmail.com. Entries are coming in from all over, so act fast. You may be the one to go out with Ring of Honor senior referee.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
Isn't he likes to cuddle?
And again, that is our birthday boy, Jim Williams, who did that brilliant commercial and does all our commercials and intros and all that good stuff.
The text was supplied via a certain referee buddy of mine, and also, but this whole rib was confirmed via Brian Danielson's Twitter. You must be 18 or older to participate. It's preferred that you're female, but they are accepting all applications.
Well, at least, you know, I love that they're tolerant. I mean, this is a new age. Love it.
Justin Gabriels was in first.
Okay, you're right. We haven't played this all night, so I have to play it now.
Yes, that was a win. Oh.
Now, I have stalled long enough. I have to talk about TNA. Now, is it just me, or is this show turning into one great big worked shoot?
What do you mean specifically by that?
The way they shot the pre-show Abyss-Jeff Hardy fight. Ric Flair's promo regarding EV 2.0. Kevin Nash's promo about it's not just about the money. Something else. It just, you know, I feel like Russo's getting cute again. I feel like the writing staff's trying to get cute with the storylines.
I think that's it. It's Russo cute. Although I will say this. I did like the way they shot the opening angle.
I'm not complaining. I just, you know, but somebody please tell Jeff Hardy to put some skivvies on if he's going to be wearing jeans.
Well, some people weren't, you know, some people won't mind. I have a couple of female friends.
Mind it anyway, because crack doesn't always kill, but it was getting blurred regularly. If we're not allowed to see it, make him wear some skivvies. But I interrupted you.
No, I mean, although I will say they did get a little cute with the audio of my back feeder's on or whatever the hell they were talking about or something like that.
Mm.
You know, that was a little cutesy, but even so, was, you know, I liked a lot of what they did. I'm also starting to take a little bit of a shine to reaction, because if you notice, they continued the brawl at the end of TNA into reaction, which I liked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of a third hour of Impact without being in a third hour of Impact at times. I mean, you know,
well, it's shot differently. It's shot more towards the reality show style. There's a lot more conversation. There's no matches. This is their way of advancing storyline without wasting their prime 2 hours of airtime and giving them more room to actually have matches. Of course, that never stopped Kevin Nash and Ric Flair from talking. Now, one of the points of the show, if I recall correctly, RVD was just looking for time off. Am I correct? Because I don't think he's hurt, short of everything Abyss did to him. ..
He's being held together by staples and stitches.
And duct tape. Oh, wait.
And bubble gum.
But, you know, give him enough MJ and he probably wouldn't even notice.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Well, you know, he does have a medical license, so you never know.
Well, if they flew him back to California to be treated, yeah, he'd be fine. He'd just flash that at the door and,
yeah,
he's good.
No, from what I read, when they taped it a couple weeks ago, he's just looking for some time off. And what they're doing is an eight-man tournament to determine who's going to win the title. And the four people who advance, if I remember correctly, were the Pope, Angle, Anderson, and Hardy, correct?
I believe so.
So, you know, you got four of the bigger, you know, bigger faces going at it.
So it's a, it leads all the way up to pay-per-view No Surrender?
I believe the semifinals will be at No Surrender, and I believe the finale will be at Bound for Glory.
Okay.
I believe.
Which has me confused, because Sting's supposed to get the title shot at Bound for Glory every year.
I thought that was in his contract, so.
Will they make it like a triple threat or something?
He'll find his way in. With, you know, they'll probably thread it some way through Abyss's they, since we still don't know who they are. And Sting was talking something about Deception 2 or 3 weeks ago, but hasn't really elaborated on that since. And then we've got EV 2.0 thrown in the middle of this, and I'm going to have to. You guys are going to have to give me a minute here. The fact that EV 2.0 is a continuing storyline bothers me to some extent. Hardcore Justice was supposed to be the final curtain call, the final let's put ECW to bed, let's give it the farewell it wanted, the farewell it deserved. And then come Thursday last week, not this past, just this past Thursday, but all of a sudden they're mixed up into a storyline. Am I the only one who just feels like I've seen this before, Trista?
I didn't even watch TNA, and I feel like I've seen it before.
Thank you.
I've probably seen this before, because I'm pretty sure Fortune has become the Nexus.
Yeah.
Next week, they might as well come out wearing little F armbands. I mean, they upped their membership. They've added Morgan and Williams, so they're at 7. They did the beatdown on Jarrett and Nash and Hogan and Sting. And then when they had them all down and Sting was the last one left, they surrounded him and then beat him down.
I mean, you want to know something? My father, who is who watches wrestling with me every week, said, "Oh my God, it's the Nexus with blood." That's pretty much it.
I'm waiting for Ric Flair to cut a promo about the winds of change going through TNA and their higher purpose.
No, they'll give the mic to AJ for that.
Maybe James Storm can start wearing a little face mask with a beer bottle on it.
No, I'd like to see Morgan doing that.
I think Morgan should just start giving people a big lariat and winding up on it.
God. Yeah, exactly.
AJ can do a 450.
Maybe have Kazarian spike up his hair like a troll doll. Robert Roode can dye his hair red.
Oh, God. No, I'm sorry. Robert Roode and Beer Money, Motor City Machine Guns, match of the year, feud of the year. Sorry.
No. That's fine. It's just this whole Fortune Nexus thing is about where we're going with this.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And just, like I said, the thing with EV 2.0, Tommy, I love you to death. And I respect what you set up for Hardcore Justice, and I'm sorry that you guys had to tiptoe around trademarks. But...
Cajones.
Yeah. Oh, God.
God. I forgot which Botchamania it was, but there is one that does a little... that actually scores Tene and Taz on how many times they flipped. I think Tene won. So let's see. Ah, yes. So I will stop whining about TNA because now I'm going to pick on Alberto Del Rio.
Ernesto.
Yes, Dos Caras Del Rio.
That is Dos Caras?
Yeah.
Yes. Really?
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
that's what makes the gimmick even funnier to me.
Okay.
The fact that he used to go under the name Dos Caras which is Two-Face.
Uh-huh.
Two Faces.
And now he's an honest man.
Yeah, he talks about all his finer qualities. And now we find out that he's impossibly rich, impossibly arrogant. And Seidelman and Jimmy Cordero said it pretty much at the same time. We have the Mexican JBL.
I like his ring announcer. He needs to replace Chimmel.
Yes, the Spanish Michael Buffer. I can do Spanish. I'm really good. Seriously, I speak Spanish.
No, you're fine. I speak some Spanish, too. Well, and I won't do that. I talk some TV, and now the news. Don't touch that dial. Oh, wait. Wrong show.
But by the way, nice $400,000 ride he came in on. Thank you very much.
Oh, God, that Rolls Royce absolutely floored me.
Yeah, but he gets, Alberto Del Rio gets the big rocket ship push.
Rey Mysterio. Nobody beats Rey Mysterio.
Yes, but unfortunately, they blundered a bit on his bio page.
Whoa!
Trista, thank you for getting a screen cap of that.
I am bowing at the moment. You're welcome.
I'm going to read the line, because they wrote up a rather impressive bio, but they forgot to delete the first line of the email. Let's see, are you okay with this for Del Rio's bio? Just asking, because I know he's supposed to be a big deal fairly quick.
Whoops. Oops. Okay. Shane, you left as the director of new media. See what you've done? I mean, seriously. Good grief. Get some QC.
Joey. You walked away from the mic to do this.
You made it suffer through Mike Adamly.
You know, Joey, do this sober, please.
Yeah. Good.
So, but yeah, just, and I don't know what the official name of Del Rio's finisher is, not nickname, but the technical name for it, but I'm going to call it a Dragon Screw Cross Arm Breaker, and it was gorgeous.
I'll call it the Code Red from Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman.
He did this move also?
He didn't do the little flip into it, but he did a little cross arm bar like that. He called it the Code Red.
Okay.
I did like the flip.
Devastated jobbers on WCW Pro for weeks until he became a jobber himself.
But, of course, I actually think the most interesting thing of the night was the Kane promo.
And that just makes me really stoked for the feud. Yes, probably down at the very end of this, Taker's going to win. But this could also, you know, both of these guys know that they are in the, I hate to use the word twilight for its implications, but near the end of their careers. And if that happens to go out in an explosion of fire and lightning in the center of the ring and they're both gone, awesome. All that's left is a scorch mark and an empty hole in the ring.
Yeah, pretty much.
As the fight will continue eternally in hell.
I know what I learned from SmackDown. I'm just happy that an inexperienced rookie like Serena could hang with a ring veteran like Kelly Kelly.
Oh, no.
I've apparently learned that Serena has never wrestled before, and that was her first match ever. And I mean, Kelly Kelly's a veteran out there. I'm sure she had to call the whole match for her, so I'm glad Serena could keep up.
Wow, okay. Yow.
Oh, once again.
Yeah.
I hope Kelly works with her backstage a little bit. Maybe she'll get her up to speed.
Jeez. Eiffel. Damn.
Before
anybody else gets killed, I'm just going to call it here because tomorrow, Seidelman and I are on our way to Infinity Pro Wrestling. We're going to go run into Brian Danielson. I am going to dare to wear a tie. If I don't come back, I'll figure out who gets the show. But
Dibs.
Just remember, you are not better than him.
Yeah.
Never.
Best
so,
in
good
the
night.
World. Best in the world.
Best in the world. Best in the world. And that's how that show goes. So, gentlemen and Trista, thank you so much for coming out tonight.
Yeah, Trista, come back sooner. Don't be a stranger, please.
I'm trying not to be. I was going to talk last weekend, but I had to babysit.
And the good news is that we at least confirmed Tyler Black before we brought you on the show.
Confirmed. And
so it
my baby.
Oh, God.
Again, jumping the guardrail there.
The only thing I would like WWE not to change is his ring attire.
Okay.
That is, and his hair. And his facial
yes.
hair. And his body. I don't want them to touch him. I want him back in Ring of Honor. I miss him.
Watkins. I'm putting in my call. Rufus Watkins.
Oh, God. You are just so bad. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, I think we're a little bit overtime, but
we're in archives, but that's fine.
By the way, I do want to say something. I do want to bitch a little bit about one other thing before we go.
No.
I want to talk.
As long as it's not PG.
What? What did you say?
As long as it's not about PG.
Oh no, it's not about PG. It's actually about Eric Bischoff specifically.
Oh, crap. I knew I forgot something.
Yes. Shall we talk about this for a moment?
Can I tell you guys, if you guys will stick around for a couple minutes, this is something that Eric Bischoff posted this week where he was making fun of the demographics. He was picking on the fact that the WWE was steadily losing the 18 to 35 demographic, and I think they were almost non-existent in the 35 to 49. I don't have it in front of me. Do you have it, Jason?
Let me see if I can find, if I can. Oops. Of course, I didn't want to close that link. Just give me a sec here. I think I'll find it. Just give me a moment. Just
take your time.
Yeah.
Essentially,
Eric Bischoff, ratings expert.
Right. And he of course, didn't cite his sources. He was just doing what he could to dig at WWE. What he forgets is that Vince is not targeting the 18 to 35 audience directly. He's hitting a very broad span all the way going down into the teens, tweens, probably down to 7 or 8. If you want to, talk just Cena and Mysterio.
Yeah, here is his, this is his words, facts hurt, okay? This is what he says. This is Tuesday, August 17th. By the way, we also forgot about talking about Homicide being released this week, but that's, we'll get to that too. On the heels of the big youth push in WWE during the past several weeks, here are some facts from this week in the business. Raw's demographic ratings among males 18 to 34 and 18 to 49 were the lowest in 7 weeks. Raw scored a 1.86 among males 18 to 34, which was down from a 2.03 rating last week. And during this month's conference call to investors, basically admitted that basically we had a lousy quarter and then went on to pin the loss of Shawn Michaels, Batista, Triple H, and Undertaker, all 40-plus years of old, as the reason for the hit to pay-per-view and live event revenue. Now, one could suggest McMahon is insane enough to be intentionally misleading Wall Street with excuses that are not substantiated by financials that wouldn't hold up under either SEC or Sarbanes-Oxley Act 404 security, or maybe that he has no idea what he's talking about despite the massive success of his business model. Although one could recognize a direct connect between what TV ratings, pay-per-view buy rates, and ticket sales are proven time and time again, as well as what legitimate focus groups conducted by credible media companies in the business such have clearly identified, the TV audience, including 18-34 males, rate with established and, yes, older stars. Admittedly, these facts are kind of dry compared to the subjective opinion of those with their own agenda or inflamed rhetoric that appeals to those perpetually prepubescent parasitic internet experts, in quotes, who neither have any legitimate experience or success as executives in the television or wrestling industry, and the rant of the term... What?
Sorry. Hot kettle. Go on.
Yes, okay. And the rant of the terminally irrelevant trying desperately to hold on to their last 200 fans. Fuck you. Excuse me.
Go on.
What?
Again, pot kettle. Go
right.
on.
Right. But they are facts nonetheless. In my opinion, Vince Russo, Dixie Carter, and the team at TNA have done a great job of utilizing veteran stars to help elevate some of the young emerging talent in TNA, and at the same time gaining awareness and credibility within the media industry. That's just my opinion, and my opinion is backed up by the facts. Ouch. Sorry. So, we go on to this, okay? And then, you know, Dave Scherer refuted this, and I also have something else. He talks about the ratings, and he says, I think it's fair to say that the Battle of New York preseason football game in the new stadium may have had something to do with that, but Bischoff ignored that, of course. Even if it isn't WWE, still has to try and establish new stars at their older guy's age. You don't need to work in the wrestling business to understand that. A more important question is, why use WWE's ratings? He works for TNA. Why not use TNA's number to make his point? And then,
because there's no way that they're going to match up, because
right.
the ratings of the male demographic, you know, the 1.86 that they're pulling, is still higher than TNA's total ratings.
Right. As a matter of fact, somebody did something really cool. Daniel Burkhart did a chart from December 10th TNA ratings to the present. Okay? December 10th was 1.0. All right.
Okay.
The Monday special was the highest ratings of TNA this year at 1.5. Okay. All
right. Right.
Then they had Thursday, and they fluctuated from a 1.3 to a 1.1 to 1.3. Their first Monday show was a 1.0. If you remember correctly, they never went higher than that on a Monday night.
Right.
Okay, down to a 0.8. And they have grown steadily from a 0.9 to a 1.2 after the Hardcore Justice. Okay? So, is Eric Bischoff full of crap? Where is Bischoff coming from? What is his point?
I think what he's trying to get at is that he thinks that Vince is relying too much on the youth movement, the same way Bischoff's relying too much on his established talent, all the old guard that he's brought in. What Vince is doing is twofold. Vince is establishing new stars and at the same time establishing a new audience. That's why he's aiming at lower demographics.
Yes, and again, Nikki and I, we had a major discussion about this, and I think I understand it, I just don't get it. I mean, I get it, I'm not necessarily a fan of it. Some of it, anyway.
Typho, what do you think?
What?
Typho,
I think that, I mean, I see Eric Bischoff's point, but he should be looking at the company he's a part of first, because everything he said there at the end about Russo and Dixie Carter using established talent to help younger talent, has he watched the show that he's on recently? Because basically the entire points right now of the show are pushing guys who were in their prime 15 years ago against a guy who was in his prime in the 80s. And a side storyline is Sting and Nash with Jarrett and Hogan. And these young stars are background players to Ric Flair right now.
Pretty much.
And his war with Dixie Carter.
And don't get me started on Dixie Carter, the on-screen character.
I mean, at least the group that Fortune's copying, the Nexus, they're seven five, six, seven, eight, whatever it is at the time, new guys who haven't been shoved down our throats for 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, does Bischoff know what he's doing still? No.
No.
He's never known what he's doing.
I'll give you, a lot of people have said this, and I'm finally starting to see this. Bischoff was very lucky in the mid-90s. The NWO was an idea that he'd stolen from Japan, and it just completely blew everybody's socks off. He had the right people in the right place at the right time, but he drove it into the ground.
He proved to us he did not know how to handle it because he didn't know when to end it. He didn't know when to do something new. He just kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it because it's the only thing that ever actually worked for him. And he didn't know what else to do.
Right.
So if it's not that, I mean, he stole an angle from New Japan that worked, and that's all he's ever done. The only other thing he's ever done was convince Ted Turner to sign Hulk Hogan. And even that wasn't working until the NWO, which he stole from New Japan.
Right.
And Hogan was driving fans away. Just go watch Uncensored 96. Or don't, actually, for your sanity, but just...
But you're saying that would, you know, that's an example. Because, yeah, the heel turn was just an unprecedented holy shit moment. Again, this is just having the right stuff in the right place at the right time. And it did him a whole lot of favor and gave him a whole lot of street cred, but if he keeps talking like that, you know, he might get bounced before Russo.
And there's a reason that Eric Bischoff spent 3 to 4 years in the WWE, and for that entire time, he was just on-screen talent. It wasn't just coincidence that no one ever said, hey, let's see what Eric Bischoff has to say. Maybe he's got a good idea. No, because nobody there was dumb enough to go ask him.
And I think Vince enjoyed the idea that he pretty much got to step on Bischoff's neck.
Notice Bischoff was there, not once was he asked anything, and how many times was Paul Heyman put in spots, booking SmackDown, booking OVW, booking ECW?
Exactly.
And it's basically two guys that were in the same type of position and competition. They both were brought in. One was given all kinds of chances because they knew he could do stuff. The other, he was just on-screen talent because they didn't want him anywhere near booking.
Right. And unfortunately, they squandered all their goodwill with dear Uncle Paul and essentially completely burned him out on wrestling.
Good old December to dismember.
Unfortunately, that really was the dagger in his heart. He has walked away and has zero interest in coming back. That's why he turned down Hardcore Justice. That's why you won't see him making surprise appearances at any independent leagues. He is perfectly happy managing Brock Lesnar.
Or associated with him.
Or at least associate with him. I know that he is very good friends with Brock. He is helping him with a lot of things. They are very close personally, not in that way. I know that they are working on a book. I know that, you know...
I have the Heyman quote if you're interested.
Yes.
This is... He was on MMA Fighting's MMA Hour Live this past Monday. And yes, I am using PAW Insider, because they actually are a very good, legitimate news source, just their criticism is wrong.
You're fading in and out there, Chief.
What? Oh, sorry.
You keep fading in and out.
Okay, I said that I love their news reporting, but anyway. Heyman commented about TNA, they're not ready for me. They're not there yet. I kind of have self-justified my own interest in TNA as a network of stock and ownership. I left pro wrestling in December of 06, and I haven't done one shoot DVD, one convention appearance, one cameo. I haven't done anything in wrestling. If he never does anything in wrestling, I've had my fill. And he said, if he was a legend in TNA, he wouldn't want Paul in the company. If you were over 40, I'd chop your fucking head off, he said. He ditched Derek Jeter and A-Rod and find the next generation because the big stars are the end of their prime. I want a guy who was entering the prime of his career and shape him and mold him. He said it's about a long-term investment, not about grabbing the brass ring just next year. He doesn't want guys in their 40s. He said older talent should be used for promo events and autograph signings and video games, but not as the nucleus. He discussed the angle where Fortune beat up the former ECW alumni. I know the focus was on the ECW guys in their 40s, Hogan and Flair, and not the core group of the talent. He says, imagine if they did all this Steiner show with promote the Beer Money Motor City Machine Guns match and had Ric Flair, Hogan, and the ECW guys saying they needed to see that match and these guys are the future now. Then you put that match in a main event as opposed to the middle of the card with no follow-up and producing present them as the main event. Then if you buy this product, this is a progressive type of presentation we're going to present to you. Instead, you have Hogan in his 50s thanking ECW guys in their 40s before the ECW guys, who Heyman specifically thanks for everything they brought to my life, are beat up by a group of led by Ric Flair in his 60s. He's right.
Mm-hmm.
He's right.
And I don't. And that's why I say, you know, at the end of the day, I do not blame Uncle Paul for walking away and staying away. He's done everything. He feels he's done everything he needs to do for the business. And what, you know, what's going on in the business right now, you know, Vince doesn't. You know, Vince would never take him back. Not after December disaster. And TNA, you know, TNA would love to have him, but he's like, no, no. So thank you. So what was the other thing we were going to take a look at real quick?
I thought it was Homicide leaving, being released by TNA. I think.
Okay. Hey, so do you watch much TNA, Kaiso?
Yeah, I've pretty much watched it since the Asylum days.
Whoops. Well then, you might be able to help me out on this. I'd heard a rumor a few months back that Homicide was trying to get fired.
Yeah, that's been talked about for a while. It seems like for about 2 years now that there's been rumors that he wasn't happy and didn't want to be there anymore. It basically sounded a lot like Carlito in the WWE for, like, the last 3 years.
Oh, boy.
Like, everything he hears, he is asking for his release, and they won't give it to him. He's asking for his release, they won't give it to him. So he's trying to get fired, and they won't fire him.
Well, because I know he was cutting up a bit. He was cutting up a bit in a few of the shows this year. And I don't know if they finally just got fed up and said, fine, go away. Or if they legit just didn't have anything for him because they weren't going to put LAX back together.
There was people speculating that on the January 4th show, when he won the little X Division Asylum deal, and he took about 10 minutes to actually climb out of it, that he was just trying to stall to burn time to get himself fired.
Oh, shit, what?
Because he knew they were live and he could just mess with TV time.
God. There was that, and then he supposedly did a couple of goofy things a couple weeks later on one of the live shows. I forgot what it was, but it was something really stupid and probably should have gotten him fired. I mean, he could have just done the Sabu and do stuff like show up late, show up without his gear, have to borrow gear.
Arrested.
No. We'll never go that far.
Yeah, but, yeah, I'm with you.
But I'm guessing, well, I know Homicide was doing a lot in Ring of Honor, so they'd probably take him back.
Yep, pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah, I would think they would.
So I think he's gonna make a phone call on that, which reminds me, speaking of Ring of Honor, I heard that Adam Scrapiron Pierce is no longer a part of their organization.
Gary Silken, I believe it was a fired, I believe.
I've heard a couple of different versions. I've heard that it was a mutual decision. I've heard that he got fired. Allegedly, he had said that the honchos were just in a bad spot, and this was the easiest thing for them to do. and they let him go. But
now there's the report that the new booking combo is Delirious and Jim Cornette, which brought somebody to say that in that booking meeting, on one side you got somebody rambling incoherently, on the other side is Delirious.
I knew you were going to say that, but yes. Oh, my God. Wow. Ain't that the truth?
I would pay to be in that booking meeting. I really would. With them in full character trying to book the show.
Yeah.
I want Delirious and normal character along with Jim Cornette from the Dairy Queen drive-thru.
No, nothing, absolutely nothing would get done. Although I just see it where the two of them are sitting there going over, Cornette's doing all the talking, all of a sudden Delirious starts bouncing around the room, Cornette picks up his tennis racket, bops him alongside the head, tells him to sit down, shut up, and give him another idea.
Exactly.
Cornette keeps asking when he can bring in Stan and Bobby.
The new, old Midnight Express, yeah.
Oh.
Maybe they're both available now, so bring in Bodacious Bob and Bombastic Bart. The real new Midnight Express.
Oh, man. Anyway, I'm pretty much tired, so I'm done. Thank you guys, as always. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your show, Nikki, as always.
Absolutely, Jason, and thank you for being reasonable through this event. And Typho, thanks again. I completely blanked on who I had as my fourth. I honestly thought it was fourth tonight.
I gotta say, this is a far better use of the archive than on my show. 2 weeks ago, I spent the full hour of my archive reading from the Iron Sheik's Twitter. me and Forrest and Sinister, we earned the explicit rating that night.
Awesome. And did you at least try to do it in his voice?
I gave it my best shot.
You want me to try? I will fuck you in the ass, and I will make you. Exactly. Oh, God.
What I learned from that hour was that he has irrational hate for not only Hulk Hogan, but also Justin Bieber, Mario Lopez, and who the hell else did he hate?
Everybody.
Sandra Bullock's husband. That's how he refers to him every time.
Oh, Jesse James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves Lady Gaga, though.
Oh, God.
In case you were keeping score on who the Iron Sheik actually does like.
Oh, God.
That's a very short and weird list. And
I cannot imagine him just dancing to Bad Romance, okay? Just
all I can think of is that idiot, the MMA guy who was chasing three count. I can see
Tank
him.
Abbott.
Tank Abbott.
Tank Abbott. It's a Tank Abbott thing. It just hurts your brain.
Jeez. Yeah, well, that's funny. That's just bizarre.
I'm gonna let you go to bed on that, Jason. Enjoy.
Yeah, thank you. Good night.
Good night, Jason. Typho, thank you again.
All right. Good night.
Night, man.